Jim Bellamy will be with me today talking about the Frenchtown community. He's the director for FNIA, Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association. Whole lot going on over there. Shelley Gomez will be with us talking about just that, the Frenchtown Farmers Market. It's going to be a great show. I think you'll enjoy it. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Again, we've gathered for this little show we call Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny because that's kind of, you know, what it's about. It's always helpful if the title of the thing has something to do with what the thing is. And I think we can safely say that that is the case. Tallahassee folks talking with yours truly about the things that have been going on of late. We can't go too much further in this conversation if I don't refer to our beloved Florida State women's softball playing their little hearts out in what turned out to be a final match, Florida State and Oklahoma. And in any case, regardless of the fact that Florida State did not prevail in the final game, which was game three on Thursday, man, you can't take a thing away from the manner in which they have played and throughout the season, how they fought back, how they demonstrated what in my mind is typical of this organization, this team of young ladies, women who themselves carry themselves with a bit of distinction, I think. And if I can say this too, a degree of humility, which I think is a trickle-down. If you get to know Lonnie Alameda, head coach, she's a class act, and it shows up in so many different ways. We've had the pleasure of having her and her team, some of the players from the team, on the show in the past days, and we plan on doing so again. But in any case, here's to Florida State women's softball and their run for the championship. Nothing to say other than well done, ladies, and we look forward to next season. In other news, we've got a couple of important news items for you. This one I thought was particularly meaningful. This is called Play It Forward. And in this case, we're not talking about softball. We're talking about a concert opportunity, really a festival, that in fact is featuring some of Tallahassee's best. Star Swain, who you remember was most noted for her a cappella performance of the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem there at the Lincoln Memorial some years ago, was a viral sensation. Well, she's going to be performing along with Reckon So, Rebecca Hare Stewart, Michelle Cattell, and then you've got Elect of God and Jim Crozier. And then Once Great Estate, plus a whole bunch of other folks that are going to be performing. Now, this happens June the 19th, so that's a week from today. June 19th at 4:30 p.m., located at Willow Pond. So Willow Pond is this neat little venue out there on Lewis Road in Monticello. So you want to check this thing out online, and you can buy tickets in advance if you care to. You email admin@nami-tallahassee.org. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue, but nonetheless, maybe if you Google Play It Forward. but the subtext here is encouraging reconnection and unity in our community. So they're trying to raise some money, I think, basically, to help local artists who have really taken it hard during this last 18 months, with a lot of the venues and such not being available, festivals being canceled or postponed at least. So this is all good. And let's see here if there's anything else I need to share with you. Once again, it's June 19th, 4:30 p.m., Willow Pond, and it's called Play It Forward. So that's that. Here's news from the city of Tallahassee. Tallahassee Police Department is kicking off a summer cadet program. Applications now being accepted. And that is intended to be a, in their words, a fun-filled summer for local youth with their TPD cadet program. And this is hosting a week-long summer academy. And this comes up later here in the month, June 28th through July 2nd. Basically the last few days of the month. And in that regard, it runs 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. each day. And this year, participants can look forward to training in building, searches, fingerprinting, forensics, and traffic stops. Wow. So the Cadet Summer Academy is a youth program designed for ages 14 through 21 years old, and it aims to teach young folks about law enforcement as a possible career path. So that's that. And again, from TPD, their DEFY program, which is intended to discourage drug abuse, drug education for youth, the acronym DEFY, D-E-F-Y, Summer Leadership Camp is coming up. It's free. It's a prevention program for kids 9 through 12, and that comes up July 26th through the 30th. That's a half day, 8:30 to 1:30, at the Tallahassee Police Department there on 7th Avenue. You can learn more about that if you go to talgov.com/DEFY, again, D-E-F-Y, all right? So that's news from city folks and from our friends over there at NAMI. In regard to today's show, I want to add on some comments about our Tallahassee Food Challenge. I've got that information in greater detail for you here just shortly after the break. But it is in keeping with this today's show, particularly in as much as we're looking at Frenchtown Farmers Market and the whole FNIA effort, and that's the Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association. Well, Jim Bellamy being our guest in the second hour of the show, we'll talk at length with him in a conversation we had some time ago as to how Frenchtown is not only being revitalized, there's a kind of reshaping, I think, a restatement of the narrative, I guess it's a good way to put it, the description of Frenchtown that is a contrast to what we came to know back in the 60s and 70s, particularly, maybe even into the 80s, when so much of what Frenchtown was being connected to was really not the heart of what this community was and has been for Tallahassee at large over its history. So you've heard me say this before, and it certainly bears repeating, and I'm quoting from some of the folks who are from that era, when Frenchtown was the hub for much of the community. It was a thriving economic center. So you'd need to check that out. We're going to have Shelley Gomez here shortly talking to you about how that has come to be, how that has helped us better appreciate what Frenchtown was and is now. And I think that's going to be a vital part of us as a community growing forward. Pardon the pun, but it turns out that among those growers who participate in this farmers market, a lot of those people are that next generation. These are people in their 20s and 30s, many of them, who are today's growers, and they're growing smart. That is to say, they're using smarter techniques, farming techniques and methods. They're bringing product to market that is fresher and is in many respects healthier for you because it's organic. And so they're observing a lot of the issues that have to do with sustainability, we'll say. So that's all coming up here on today's show. Shelley Gomez, Jim Bellamy, our guest. You stay with me. We'll be back right after this.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You know, you can find us online anytime, TallahasseeTalks.com. There you will find news of today's broadcast for the week. You know, we air actually several times through the week. We debut every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's internet radio station that plays all local musicians playing their original songs all the time. We call it the Sound of Tallahassee. It is, in fact. And if you don't like the sound of Tallahassee, you're not going to like Moose at all, just flat out. But if you're into all of the diversity and the talent that is the Tallahassee music scene, well, it's there. I mean, and it's a remarkable collection of artists and styles and tempos, and I mean everything from jazz to blues, country to bluegrass. You got it all. Instrumentals, remarkable vocalists, pop and rock, metal, hip-hop. Yeah, Moose has it going on. MooseMagnificat.com is the place to find it. And be sure when you do that, that you're on your phone and you can download the Moose app to your phone, either Android or Apple. We've put the buttons there on the page, so it's convenient for you to be able to do that. Good way to listen, too, because the fidelity on that is just top-notch. It really is. It's CD quality. In that regard, too, we are as well simulcast on 93.3 FM Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock. A big shout-out to John Jopling and his crew over there. We love those guys. If you happen to miss Saturday morning's broadcast, we re-air on Sunday afternoons at 3 on Moose Magnificat. And then again, we're on Wednesday afternoons at 5:30. So it all works well in the event that you're looking for a convenient spot. If none of that works for you, you can always go to that website, TallahasseeTalks.com, get yourself the link to that week's show. And you do that by going to the archive. And when you find that archive link, it's under this week. Or maybe it's under the listen tab. Yeah, it's under the listen tab. So then you go to archive and there it is. Or you can search and you say, hey, search the date, right? So that all works. And, of course, you can always subscribe to the podcast if you like that. You can use your favorite podcast app. And we can set you up that way. It's available on Radio Radio Garden, and it's on TuneIn. My goodness, Streama, all these different apps around that you can use, whatever your favorite is. We're there for you. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, now celebrating our 11th season. Wow. I don't even know if I thought I would be here for another 11 years when we started this, but it's been a remarkable journey thus far, and the conversations have been entirely inspiring and informative, sometimes heart-wrenching, but at the same time, glorious, revealing. And I think the fabric of the conversations, I'll say, has really given us a sort of interesting tapestry about what Tallahassee is and, frankly, what it is not. There's a lot of misconception about this town, mostly among ourselves. You know, we just don't realize how special Tallahassee is and can be for so many people, especially among the folks that are kind of out there making things happen. And that's where we are with Shelley Gomez. She's going to be with me here in this next segment talking about Frenchtown Farmers Market and all that it's doing to contribute to our welfare in regard to food source. And you know what? That's a great lead-in because our Tallahassee Food Challenge is afoot, and we have been working this last 3 months to bring to your attention the fact that Tallahassee, Leon County, the North Florida area around us suffers greatly with food insecurities and food deserts and food scarcity. The fact that much of our population, well beyond state levels, suffers with the inability to provide wholesome, available food for their families. So the food challenge is here to say, take the challenge. That is, step up and realize that this is our responsibility as a community. Fill a bowl. You know, you don't have to feed the whole world. Just fill a bowl. How do you do that? Well, when you do that, you go to the website, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. You'll look for ways in which you can contribute, either a food donation, which is always welcome, or simple, you click on the donate button that's there plain as day, and you click on that button. It's going to take you to the portal for the Second Harvest folks. The Second Harvest of the Big Bend is ready to receive your donation, and a cash donation then translates into a 4x ratio, 1-4, buying power, right? So $10 buys $40 worth of food. That's the thing you got to keep in mind. So a food donation is fantastic, and it's welcome. And we should do that as often as we can. Most of the grocery stores around town will have those kinds of places where you can leave a food donation, right? Then again, if you go to the website and you click on donate and you make that $10, $50, $100 donation, man alive, you are providing at an exponential level the kind of support and help that is so desperately needed. And in the wake of this last year, this virus that has come at us, in the wake of 2018's Hurricane Michael, I'm telling you right now, folks, the statistics don't lie. When you find out that North Florida food scarcity is up 30% over the prior year, the rest of the state was up, I think, 3%. That's a problem, not just for Tallahassee proper, not even the metro area, but for the region. And guess what? Second Harvest supplies food for 11 counties. So this is the time when you and I can step up and care about our neighbor. Find out more simply enough if you'll go to the website, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Be sure you do this too. Look at that page that has all of our sponsors identified. Gain Street Pies is our presenting sponsor again this year. Witten Glass, a 75-year-old company, the real glass people. Then you've got Sellers Tile over there on Capitol Circle Northeast, a fantastic company. Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. And Wayne Fryer Homes out there on the over in Midway on the Memorial Highway. All of these folks have put their money together. They pay for all the advertising. They deserve our support. Be sure you do so. Stay with me. I've got more.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers Spacious Showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The Frenchtown Farmers Market is a pleasant place to pick up unique and satisfying local food. The atmosphere is friendly. The location is visually appealing and safe for kids. One of the only markets in the area that requires products to be locally made or grown. The venue has attracted an eclectic variety of vendors. So says Michelle Gomez, I'm quoting from a recent article that was published in the Tallahassee Democrat, and she is our guest at this very moment. Michelle, how are you?
Well, thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
For those who may not know you, this is your passion, community-based social impact programs. Having been your focus for a number of years, going back to 2010. And I'm reading from some information that my rather proficient staff has put together. We have a dossier for you. First in California, then home in Tallahassee, she serves as the director of Frenchtown Heritage Hub, which is an economic development program of the Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association, which began in 2011. Neighborhood leaders came together as the Frenchtown Heritage Marketplace, talking about that here just a moment ago. For the past 4 years, Michelle has led funding, partnership, and design efforts for the $1.3 million project.
It's wild to hear.
It is wild. Does it feel that magnanimous from your vantage point?
It is huge. It is absolutely huge and exciting, slightly frightening, very needed.
What's frightening about it?
It matters so much, and so there's a lot of pressure.
It matters because
this will be a game changer for minority owners, minority proprietors specifically, but for food-based business generally. What we are building does not exist in the entire Big Bend region. You'd have to go to Panama City before you could rent a kitchen. And even there, it will not have the scaffolding, the wraparound business development support that Kitchen Share will. I get calls weekly. People show up at the door wanting to know if they can tour the kitchen and when they can start using it. That's the part that's painfully slow. It's not built yet. It will be this year. We expect it in the fall. The incubator program, which starts with a 12-week food-based entrepreneurship course, that's going to start in October, regardless of the kitchens being ready yet or not. Applications open in August. All of that feels very soon, since August is right around the corner. So
here we are.
So that part is fast. And
this is called Frenchtown Heritage Hub.
The hub is the location. The hub will house Kitchen Share.
Right.
Will house the business support center.
Right.
It currently houses the market. The market
Frenchtown
sets up in
Farmers
the back.
Market. Yeah.
Right.
So we can go down there, and absolutely, that's what your article is all about. If you want to come check it out, right?
Yes, it's a great time. There's we're having a big event on the 29th, Summer Harvest Fest, cooking demonstrations all day, live music, barbecue contest, vegan contestants,
all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This also notes that you are working on behalf of Sustainable Tallahassee, Leon County, and the City of Tallahassee to promote the production and consumption of locally sourced food. And that is your point about the whole food business, right? And how pivotal this is.
Yes. That blurb actually is old. However, the work is current. So I'm not working on behalf of Sustainable Tallahassee anymore, but I am working to connect and fill the gaps in the food system so that we can keep our food dollars circulating locally and reap the benefits of that.
You know Jesse and Tyler Rice?
No.
That have Backwoods Bistro and Backwoods Crossing,
yes.
Right? So they were on the show here a couple of weeks ago. We pointed to them as examples of Tallahassee's brand.
Okay.
So there's a lot of hubbub lately about what is our brand, who are we, you know.
And I think they're, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the pull, the excitement of Backwoods Crossing is that it is, they have, it's farm to table.
Yeah, indeed. And right. In that capacity, your point is you can apply that in a lot of different, that same rationale you can apply in your setting where you look at the growers in our region, and we'll talk about the Tallahassee region, right, 5-6 counties around us or beyond, right, and say, you know, we are an agrarian economy. This is an agricultural part of the world. Why are we not consuming more of our own locally grown food is kind of a puzzlement, isn't it?
And why are we not supporting that growth with or that type of industry through our policies? We are...
Policies that have to do with...
We promote development, which is often in direct opposition to rural but also urban farming. So when a plot of land becomes more attractive to have a five-story building on it, it's no longer viable as a, as a place to grow food. And so there isn't a lot of regulatory support for keeping our food local.
Yeah.
However, there's a lot of consumer support for doing so. And if a brand is what is unique about you, then I believe that Kitchen Share will significantly contribute to that in terms of Tallahassee's brand.
And if I recall correctly, in our first conversation now, these few months ago, you were talking then about some of the pushback that you were having to contend with, and maybe it wasn't terribly dramatic, or maybe it was, people seemingly not as enthusiastic among locals.
I think that change is scary to some degree.
In any case, yeah.
Transitions are uncomfortable necessarily.
Yeah.
There is valid reasoning for being suspicious of quote unquote help.
Especially outsiders.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there is, at one point, this neighborhood was open. Arms open and welcoming and full of doctors and lawyers and statesmen and educators and community contributors. And then there was a period of time where people came home from work and had no home. So there's a lot of history that maybe is not acknowledged or that probably is not acknowledged.
Right.
And so it's easy to say, you know, why are you resisting help while you ignore the history that set that up. Now, do I think that attitude is conducive to the changes that residents have said they want? No. Does the pushback come from everywhere? No. Is it valid just because it's the way someone feels? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like that the more Heritage Hub demonstrates a service to the community, and it is a service of, by, and for the community. That sentiment subsides. You know, it lingers in sub areas, but it is replaced with evidence, with proof of value. And you just, to a large extent, in communities of color, they're across the nation, there are the same valid lingering suspicions that get replaced, I think, with goodwill the more that you show up and you follow through and you keep showing up and you bring things back rather than just taking from, because that is the history.
Folks, we're talking with Michelle Gomez, one of those contributors to our brand that we think we ought to pay attention to, very much involved in the Frenchtown area, particularly in regard to this Frenchtown hub that she has now taken under her wing and serves as the executive director there for the Frenchtown Heritage Hub, it's properly referred to. You stay with me. I've got more with Michelle right after this.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Talking with Michelle Gomez about the Frenchtown area and about Tallahassee and sustainable options and policies related to growing food locally and supporting local growers and such. I remember growing food of my own, having my own little vegetable garden there, and realizing how much work that requires.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And to be really to be proficient at that, on the east side of town, which now is sporting several major housing developments, where I used to buy sweet corn, white corn, I guess, this young man at the time, he was young, was second or third generation, and his father was actually the guy that I bought the corn from, and he had, I don't know, 10 acres over there on Pedrick. Well, all those 10 acres now are
houses,
yeah. So we lost that opportunity. And your point is simply, yeah, you're going to find yourself in competition for land when it comes to agricultural use versus housing or commerce of some kind. Now we have a multiplex theater going in on the east side. Frenchtown has this additional layer, we'll call it, or at least one additional layer, and that is the heritage, right? And that's what you were referring to, I think, when you talk about the history of broken promises, of exploitation, or segregation and distancing from that which we would refer to, I guess, generally as Frenchtown culture or subculture. Has that same sort of resistance begun to erode, or is it stronger, or are we seeing ways in which the community can better support Frenchtown merchants with your efforts?
To that last question, yes. To the others, I think it's not a simple answer. In some ways, strides are being made. Cohesion is strengthening. There are reasons to be excited. I think the local food movement is one of them that has taken hold. There are organizers in the community who have won awards in the work that they're doing. And then on the other hand, you have painful reminders that that there isn't the breadth of progress that you might think there is. When someone decides to do something with private property, as is their right, and it should be, without consultation of the community, in direct opposition to what it wants to do, as with the student housing development. Now the community is in conversation with the developers, and there's some some communication there, but that didn't happen before. That happened after 300 people came to a city council meeting and said, "I don't think so."
Right.
That it didn't have to happen that way.
Right. Was that your approach when you first looked into the whole Frenchtown community? Did you come at it from that standpoint? Hey, I have some ideas here, and you had those kind of conversations before you even tried to launch?
I actually came in and said, "What do you want to do? I'm here to help." And so my role has
even
been
more open than
absolutely
having a particular game in mind, we'll say.
Right. So it was for a specific project. It was for the farmers market. And just coming to understand better what the community and specifically FNIA, the organization, wanted for the community. And then the rest of it evolved organically in coming up against boulders. You know, you can't do this. You have to do that. How will we do that? We want the farmers market to be accessible, both for food access and economic access. We could never charge as much as it would cost to run it. Of the people who would be renting booths. So then we have to devise another revenue stream, which is how Kitchen Share came about.
Gotcha.
There were early members of that group who had already tried, who had this culinary incubator idea in mind. And they've since gone on to, in fact, Chef Shaq is now a celebrity, right?
Right.
Winner of Chopped. She had been involved in a program in Alabama, I believe, that was an attempt to start a culinary incubator. So the ideas were swirling. My role has been to really find the path of possibility and fund it.
Indeed.
And here we are.
And finding that supplemental funding, we'd say, underwriting or whatever, is always the challenge, no matter whether it's enterprise of this kind or arts and entertainment or science. I mean, people have all these great ideas, education. We talk to them all the time. And it always comes back to that same question. How are we going to make this work? But you've done so with this sort of entrepreneurial, if I can call it that, approach that says, you know, you've got skin in the game here. You can work this and help us better contribute to the welfare of the whole.
Absolutely. It's been really heartening. It's a validation of the path that we've found, in that the people that walk through the door and want to use the facility, every single entrepreneur has a social impact aspect to their business concept. Every one of them wants to reverse the school to prison pipeline or support single parents, or, you know, they want to use their culinary skills and their entrepreneurial bent to impact change in their community. And which is what we're trying to do. So those things are married without even trying to seek that
it's
out.
It's interesting. USA Today reported a couple of weeks ago, 87% of those surveyed nationally make a buying decision based upon the social contributions of the thing.
I do think that's shifting.
It's a big issue.
Absolutely. We have our largest group of age group is under 35. Millennials, I think, do make buying decisions based on the global impact or the local impact, depending on what they're interested in. And we get that feedback all the time. And I think that that is where the opportunity is to adjust our priorities in terms of regulation, because it has been toward development, and that's the old
model.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that as we understand that food is important, it's lucrative, it is the only growing sector of the retail industry. 8 of the top 10 national restaurant trends are local food.
Makes 80 economic cents. Sense.
It yeah. really does. 80 yeah. cents of every food dollar we spend at a chain grocery store leaves the community. Imagine if that dollar was staying and circulating.
Right.
It does now make economic sense. It's good business sense to have a social intention.
You need to make a part of your purpose in life. Go visit Frenchtown. See the new Frenchtown, which is really the old Frenchtown, but being presented in a new way. How about that? The old French town in a new way. Okay, that's that. You can quote me on that.
All right.
Because we really are wanting to celebrate who we really are, right, as a community, and Frenchtown is a big part of that whole identity. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We'll make sure we have this happen again more frequently. Folks, that's what I've got for you at the moment. I appreciate you being a part of today's broadcast. You stay with me. I've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
New deals and new specials are now available at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop. Each week, Jerry's will offer double Jerry's Bucks on select featured cigar brands. You'll get 10 Jerry's Bucks for every $50 you spend, plus standard Bucks and Lucker member discounts. It's first come, first serve, so don't wait. Curbside pickup is available at both Jerry's Cigar Shop locations, plus free UPS shipping on orders over $29. You can find all the great deals and specials at jerryscigarshop.com. That's jerryscigarshop.com.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour. Yes, this is Tallahassee's one and only talk show devoted to you, the listener, who finds opportunity in your week to find out what everybody's talking about, at least those topics that are of great concern and interest. And so today's show we devoted to the business of caring for one another, especially when it comes to providing good food and the farmers market over there in Frenchtown doing its part. And on that topic, I've got Jim Bellamy here in this second hour of the show to talk with you about how Frenchtown has gone through this sort of metamorphosis, a kind of rebirth, a repurposing. And the Heritage Hub is a big part of that. His organization, the Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association, they're doing their part. It's really a cooperative. It's remarkable to see people reaching out across the aisle, so to speak. You got the CRA money involved, well, that's helpful. But you got a lot of local businesses, too, that have come forward and set up things like a financial center and churches that have invested in local business and housing. And we at the same time have had to make issue of the fact that we don't want to lose what is the heart and the soul of this community. You know, many people, when we looked at the Gain Street revitalization, stepped back and said, you know, it may be pretty, but it's not Gain Street anymore. You know, the whole railroad square sort of feel had been muted, if not removed. And there comes a point at which you have to stop and ask yourself, okay, if I'm pushing a person or a community to fit a frame, a way of thinking, a mindset, we'll call it, that is really not characteristic. It's not, in that respect, it's just not genuine. I mean, well, so what you've done is a kind of transplant. You've removed the old and replaced it with something that you have fashioned for whatever your reasons may be. And many times are they not economic? Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that most of what happened there at Gain Street was about people making more money, and it was valuable real estate. I remember one guy telling me, you know, we want to be able to step out of the stadium and see that there's a bar or restaurant within walking distance. Okay. So is there something inherently bad about that idea? Well, I suppose not. I mean, Lord knows I'm not against restaurants and bars, but I am looking out for the people who say, we kind of like the way it was, or at least we liked the manner in which there was a sort of, if you want to call it a cultural vibe, by extension, a kind of personality, if you want. There's a lot of that that goes on in communities. It happens all over the country. But some of those communities have been able to retain and actually enhance and preserve what has been their history, you know, what has been the manner in which they do business. And I can think of a few communities around that I've participated in, whether it's Austin or New Orleans. Yeah, I mean, even when you look around the state of Florida, there are plenty of examples of that where a town found the opportunity to preserve its, we'll call it, soul, without at the same time discouraging economic growth and vitality for the area. I mean, it can be done. I think that Frenchtown faces that sort of development and that sort of repurposing, and there's a lot of contests there. There's a lot of conversation, at least, about the right way to go. And I mean, you've got Florida State University, we'll say, just to the south of the Frenchtown community, and their needs for real estate don't seem to be diminishing in any capacity. So, I mean, is there pressure there to be able to expand further north of Tennessee Street? Good question. You know, we've had opportunity in the days past to bring to you people who are in that business of development and community and urban growth and that kind of topic. We should do it again. In fact, we need to continue doing that as we go forward. But for today's broadcast, we thought, well, let's bring the man who is at the center of all that. I mean, and this is a guy who grew up in Frenchtown, graduated from then the Lincoln High School that originated in Frenchtown, and talks at length with us about what that meant. To be a graduate of Lincoln High School meant that you were a proficient student, and those educators themselves were masters and doctoral level folks who demanded achievement from their students, and they were rigorous in their approach to the education that those kids got. And Jim Bellamy was one of them, and here he is back in Tallahassee after a stint up there in D.C. He worked in the Washington, D.C. area for a number of years and came back to his hometown, and recently lost his brother, sadly enough, not too long ago, a few months ago, who was his younger brother, and the two of them were inseparable. So Jim is a guy who I think has in mind the welfare of a lot of people. And, of course, his heart and soul belongs to the Frenchtown community. But he's also a cooperative soul. And this is a guy who will show up at CRA meetings and community events and commission meetings. I mean, the guy's available. And he takes a very open-minded approach to how we can come together more effectively as a community. And I'm looking forward to the day when, you know, a trip to Frenchtown includes some great food, whether at a local restaurant or some great music. And let's not forget B Sharp's, one of the best places in town to find yourself some jazz on a given night of the week. And then there's the Heritage Hub itself and that Frenchtown Farmers Market that happens every Saturday during the spring and summer and early fall. Man alive, there's a lot going on. And in the fact that we have opportunity to talk with Jim at length about it, I think you'll find that useful. I think you'll be encouraged to know that somebody like that
cares so much about not just the, you know, 5 or 6 square blocks around his local location there, but he cares about the larger community. You know, it's more than one zip code, folks. It's, in fact, it's more than one county. When you look at what Tallahassee really amounts to, well, you got to count at least 5 of those counties. And I think that's where Jim's heart is. I think he looks beyond the borders of what might otherwise be a very convenient sort of retreat from this larger picture. And he embraces it with a lot of vigor. So that's what we've got for you lined up here in this coming remaining portion of the show. Don't forget, you can help us out if you will make it your business to go today. Do it right now. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com is the place to go if you want to contribute to our efforts to help feed hungry families in our community. Take the challenge, fill a bowl, and feed the hungry.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
The Kitchen Share Incubator is the region's only food-focused startup program. Frenchtown's Food Business Incubator offers a 12-week food entrepreneur course that offers motivated individuals the foundation to launch a successful concept and the industry contacts, which is important, to guide through the process of developing this concept. Facilitators match students with mentors for an additional 12 weeks of support. A small number of competitive fellowships provide extended resources for marketing, packaging certifications, and product development. The inaugural cohort is underway. The next application period will open in the spring of 2019, which is now. Is that right? Right. And we have with us this morning the guy, the executive director, Jim Bellamy. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing great, Brian. How you doing?
Who will not allow you to fawn over him? Because he's a humble guy. He's the guy who's just going to kind of be back there pulling all the levers and pushing all the buttons to make it work. But he's a pretty modest fellow. So it's unusual that we've actually been able to get him out here.
And, I'm glad to be here.
And tell him how great he is. So he won't take that, you know.
Particular time.
Which today, I think, is serving you well. Here you are with this remarkable creation, Kitchen Share, as it's called. This resource that now provides aspiring culinary artists and restaurateurs, those who want to be in this business of food preparation and delivery. This is a working lab for them, isn't it?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, we kind of came to this by starting off with a farmer's market back in 2011. The farmer's market, we had people who were doing cottage industry foods, which is things like jellies and jams and things of that nature, who could not sell their product to any individual unless they sold it directly to the individual.
I see.
So with the preparation of the food in a commercial or shared kitchen, they can then leave it on shelves and they could sell to places like Whole Foods and other small restaurants and things of that nature, and not be present to sell it.
I got you.
But without it being prepared in a shared or commercial kitchen, it wasn't possible.
So this opens up a tremendous amount of opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. For a lot of people.
And this began as the brainchild, if I'm not mistaken, with people like Shelly Gomez.
Shelly Gomez did a fantastic job in getting us kicked off and getting us started. On the matter of fact, we even sent her to Vermont to the school where they had the only food hub school in the country. And she went up there and got the information, came back.
That's remarkable.
And we got together and put the facility together.
She's been a guest here a few times. And yes. She's now working with Oasis there young women. You know, and for folks that are just getting to know your story, and for you, my friend, if you're listening this morning or this afternoon, depending on, or this evening, wherever you happen to be, take some time. Do yourself a favor. If nothing else, go and read the Wikipedia article about Frenchtown and its history. Better understand who we are as a community, because you cannot talk about Tallahassee and understand the fabric of our history without understanding, having a fundamental understanding of how Frenchtown has been contributive in all of that, and well beyond black families, into all that we are as a community. Frenchtown is a vital part of that. It's remarkable, too, that it has been the seedbed for a lot of innovation. We already mentioned people like Ray Charles. But then again, some of the medical science, the physicians that were a part of that early history and then came from that to create even other opportunities for Black Americans.
Right.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
So here we come to the more recent years and the formation of Heritage Hub back in 2011. And that was sort of the seedbed there. That was the foundation.
Right.
It was
the foundation for what we had then, was the farmer's market.
Yeah, yeah.
And the farmer's market, basically, we started off with three vendors, and we were on the corner of Georgia and Macomb Street for about 4 or 5 years before we actually found the building up the street at on Martin Luther King Boulevard, where we are today.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and that was built on the shoulders of this Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association.
Right, which was our neighborhood association at that particular time. But we got a 501c3, which enabled us to be able to expand a little bit from just being a neighborhood association to pick up some other things. I mean, you know, it was very helpful in being able to do that, having a 501c3.
What strikes me is the breadth of your knowledge, that here you are primarily responsible for Kitchen Share and its operation and funding, and we're going to talk about the funding side. But at the same time, you bring all of this experience from all of your work, all of your travels, all up and down the East Coast, from Washington, D.C. back to Tallahassee. You have chosen to remain here. I mean, this is your boyhood home.
Yeah.
So you're definitely a back here where you feel like this
I'm
is
home
where you belong.
Now. Yeah. Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I lived in D.C. for 27 years. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is still home. You know, they say you can never go home again, but I think I have come back.
You have come back.
But anyway, it has been home. It's, you know, when I came back, basically because I had a family situation that I had to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
But once that was over, my wife and I decided that we were going to stay. We had been away a long time. Both of us were born and raised there in Tallahassee. So we came back, and like you said, a lot of my experiences has been very helpful in terms of what I can do now.
Yeah.
I got a chance to see some other things. That's why I say to young people now that, hey, if you're going to finish school and go somewhere, you might learn something. You know, a lot of times something new helps you a little bit.
That sounds like a great idea. Folks, he is the executive director for this remarkable innovation in entrepreneurship
aimed at food preparation and distribution. Kitchen Share, it's called. It's right there in the heart of Frenchtown. We've got Jim Bellamy with us. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Jim Bellamy. He is the guy who is at the helm for this Kitchen Share right there in Frenchtown, which you can't really appreciate, in my humble opinion, if you don't get in touch with the history of Frenchtown. And even I would say, in the last 25, 30 years, go back and look at sort of the rise and fall. You know, there was a period of time when Frenchtown, when I moved here in 78, we were advised as students, you know, I don't want to be hanging out there in Frenchtown after dark, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Just not a happy place. But here comes guys like Jim Bellamy and a lot of people who put together this Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association. And that goes back into the late 90s, doesn't it? Like 98.
We incorporated.
Mm-hmm. So there is this determination. And see, that's the part that inspires me. You know, you're a Tallahassee guy,
right,
who comes back and you look into your own history. You look around the neighborhoods, and I'm curious as to what your feeling was at that time.
My wife said to me, I worked in a similar type neighborhood in Washington, D.C., which is Anacostia and Congress Heights of D.C. And when I came back to Tallahassee and I started getting involved in community stuff, my wife said, why are you doing that? You've done that before. But I always feel like I can't live in the area unless I get involved in the area. Mm. If it doesn't happen, if I see things then, and it doesn't happen, then I have a responsibility to do something.
Who taught you that?
Well, I guess it was basically, I majored in sociology in college, and I was out of school for a few years before I ever realized what it meant. And I saw a definition of sociology, and I'm like, okay. That's why I think like I think. But I think it was because, you know, I had a very, very good feeling for the areas, basically. I knew a lot of the history. Usually when I go into something, a business or something, I'm trying to figure out what makes it tick, how does it work, who's involved, and how can it be better, and that kind of stuff.
When you were growing up, was your family like that? Did they have a sense of responsibility and commitment and involvement, or was this more just you individually coming at it and saying, hey, I want to do something different?
Yeah, it was a little of both. I was raised by my grandmother, who taught me a whole lot of things about being responsible and actually getting involved and stuff. The matter of fact, when I was about a sophomore in high school, they had a program in Florida State where somebody was doing some research on kids going to college and what would be their major interests and stuff. So I went and took all these bunch of tests and stuff, and they came back saying, you'd be good in something like social work or something like that.
Interesting.
And I think at that time, a lot of people were really interested in the social aspect of what was going on. Yeah, a lot of your companies were involved in things like, city renewing cities and all that kind
revitalization.
Of stuff. Revitalization and stuff.
Right.
And really, I mean, you know, I was, when I played semi-professional football, I was in Alabama, I think it was Admiral or something like that, TV people, they were trying to hire people to do, you know, work in the community and stuff. But I always was attracted to that. And when I got my first job, once I finished college, I ended up in D.C. and I got my first job. I was working in a neighborhood organization.
Interesting.
And they put me to work as a young man with all these old neighborhood workers. So, so I mean, I learned a lot from them, you know what I mean?
I bet you did.
Yeah, they
learned how to stay alive.
Yeah, they kind of used me a little bit, but they taught me a lot.
I bet.
Yeah, you know, working with, and most of these were old welfare mothers who had gone and educated themselves and were actually neighborhood organizers and stuff.
Interesting.
And so that's how I learned how to do community work, and then I end up in the politics. I organized the DC Coalition for Youth. We went from 5 organizations to 54 organizations. We organized that. And then when Marion Barry became mayor, we were very influential in terms of advocating for the services that we wanted. And he said all his advocate friends were going to work and help him do something about the city, because we knew where all the bodies were buried. So he did. He hired all of us, and we all worked, you know, in the agency.
Cool.
Worked for the mayor's office for a while.
You know, the fact is, in my observation, humble as it is, the heart for such things does come from a parent, from your family. The head, the intellectual aspects, the understanding comes through your academics. Oftentimes, I will say to people here, and we get a lot of young people who are interning with us, right?
Right.
From one of the colleges. And I'll say to them, you know, I can teach you a lot about what I do, but I can't make you care. Man, if I could figure that part out, it could change the world. How do you make somebody care that Frenchtown, as a community, has a vibrancy? There is culture there. There's an understanding there. There's a perspective. There's a way of living. There's a kind of connectedness as a community. How do you translate that into activity if you don't care?
Well, you know, one of the things that I did very early, you mentioned earlier about the history. I had found out that there was a historic preservation document that was out there somewhere. And it was about the stick, and that it had been done on Frenchtown. So I was curious. I wanted to know what it said. So I found a copy of it, and I read it a bunch of times. And before I moved back here, I also got a copy of the plan, area county plan.
You're right.
Because I wanted to know what was going on in the city also.
Yeah.
And what were some of the things that were being proposed. And by me working for the city of District of Columbia, I could understand a lot of what was going on. I would kind of translate it to my grandmother and stuff. And she like, no, that can't happen because of so-and-so. Like the Carter Howell Strong Park down the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I told her, I said, somewhere down there, there's going to be a lake or something. She said, no, because people live down there. I said, that doesn't mean anything. You know, because I knew then at that point that, you know, the government can change things if they want to.
Right.
But at that time, there were 50 families living down there. Those 50 families had to give up their property so that the Carter Howell Strong Park is there now.
And that to you seemed more like an invasion than an improvement, or how do you characterize
Well, I mean,
that?
It was like,
it a necessity?
You know, well, I mean, I didn't understand the reason then, but I do now, because see, since then I understand that Frenchtown is in the basin of Tallahassee.
Yeah.
In other words, all the water around the city basically ends up in Frenchtown.
Yeah.
So they needed to put that park on that pond down there as a holding pond to carry all the water. Mm-hmm. The thing that was disheartening was when I was working with the front porch, I found out from the state people at the department over there, community services,
right.
that they let them build it and it wasn't adequate. Huh. And I said, "You did what?" He said, "We let them build it and we knew it wasn't adequate." So they let them build it, and since I've been living there, they had to come back in and dig it deeper and spread it out because at one time it just flooded every time it rained.
I remember.
So now.
It used to be back then, right. you know, even as a student at Florida State, a heavy thunderstorm come rolling through.
Yeah,
Tennessee flood. Street would be flooded over.
Yeah, flooded over, yeah. Yeah. Huh. And that was why they let them build it without knowing that it had the capacity.
Hmm. I had a friend in Seattle years ago. He was a landscape architect, did a lot of work for the state of Washington. He used to say, "Brian, you can do a favor for a person, but you cannot do a favor for a group of people." Mm-hmm. And he gave an example of that where he tried to step out and do the right thing. They made him take it out because it didn't fit the plan. And then they went ahead and completed the plan. And then they later came back to him and said, "Hey, this plan doesn't work." He said, "I know. I tried to help you." So you can help a person. It's tough to help a group of folks. I'll tell you what, Jim Bellamy's here, and he's helping me, and I think he's helping you, too, better understand what good things are coming about when good people put their heads together and they care to do the right thing. So, folks, thanks for caring. Thanks for staying with me. We got one more. We'll be right back with Jim Bellamy. You stay with me.
New deals and new specials are now available at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop. Each week, Jerry's will offer double Jerry's Bucks on select featured cigar brands. You'll get 10 Jerry's Bucks for every $50 you spend, plus standard Bucks and Mucker member discounts. It's first come, first served, so don't wait. Curbside pickup is available at both Jerry's Cigar Shop locations, plus free UPS shipping on orders over $29. You can find all the great deals and specials at jerryscigarshop.com. That's Jerry's Cigar Shop.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, I've got Jim Bellamy here. He's been patiently hanging in here with the Moose as we talk about Frenchtown and Kitchen Share and all that that represents. You can find online if you go to Kitchen Share. It's a simple address, kitchenshareTLH.com, and get to know more about what they do, why they do it, and how they do it. As a result, you have this wonderful opportunity with the Frenchtown Farmers Market that happens every Saturday from 10 to 2. And it's right down there in the heart of Frenchtown, and Saturday 10 to 2, Frenchtown Farmers Market. Well, that's where you can go when you want to sample some of the best jam and jelly in the world, because Rose has got her stuff out there. Rose Garrison, a good friend of this community, and by way of Alabama, so we won. We won on that one because all those people in Talladega, they're like, "Oh no, Rose is going to Tallahassee. We're losing Rose." Yeah, well, tough, because we got her and we're keeping her because she's amazing. But let me tell you about this kitchen. 4 burners. Fryer, 3 conventional ovens, flat grill, mixers, food processing, refrigeration, freezer, dry storage. They can even do vacuum packaging, and they have lots of climate-controlled working area that make it all very, very friendly for those who are there preparing and learning how to be in this business, right? It's called Kitchen Share. Again, the address is kitchenshareTLH.com. Now, when it comes to making all this work, then it comes on back to our buddy Jim. Because Jim Bellamy will be the guy who'll look at you and say, "You know, I got a great opportunity here.
But now we have to work on the funding that will help this thing go to the next level. Jim, talk about that. What's the biggest need right now?
Right now, the biggest need is for training and also for operational funding. I mean, it's very easy. Not, I say easy, but it was very, very accommodating for us to be able to get the money for the equipment and all, which was kind of expensive.
And Shelly was a big part of that, wasn't
Shelly
she?
Shelly was a great big part
getting the grant funding.
Yeah, get the grant funding.
So you got it built now.
Now, we have to keep it going. Hmm. She told me I better do that.
She's gonna come back and beat up.
Yeah. No, we she's been quite helpful, and we still communicate with each other.
Of course,
like on a regular basis,
right.
And stuff. But anyway, one of the big things now is that we need money to really carry us through the lean time we had projected, and we knew that the first year would probably be the most difficult year,
right?
And that we may have a shortfall this year. Or maybe $50,000-$60,000, and what we wanted to do was we wanted to be able to make it through this year, and we think that in the future that the kitchen itself will pay for itself. We have enough stuff there, and there are so many different opportunities that we can use. Mm. We're the only shared kitchen in this region. The closest one now is Panama City, Pensacola, Jacksonville.
Right.
Other than that, there is no other ones. This is an opportunity for people who are really starting their business or want to get involved. We have the technical assistance to help people get started. We even have an attorney that want to work with people to help them if they want to open their business.
Oh, that's awesome.
Get their business going. Legal Services has an attorney that's working with us on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So the kitchen share concept, what that amounts to, people being able to come in and use the facility on a shared basis. And they pay for that?
Yes,
time?
They have to rent the space. Uh-huh. They can rent it by the hour, by the week, by the month.
I got you.
By the day, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
The only thing that we require is that they have the permits and food safety license that they need and insurance.
Okay.
Other than that, they can come in and use it.
Right.
We have our license already now.
Okay.
And we're set to kick this thing off on May 18th.
Let's go, man. Let's get it rolling.
May the 18th.
Yes, we are. And funding includes the fact that you're a 501c3.
Yes, we are. We are
501c3. So we can make tax-deductible charitable contributions.
Right.
Who do I make the check out to?
Princeton Neighborhood Improvement Association.
Simple enough.
That's
right?
It.
And those monies then are going to be used to continue the operation.
Right.
It sounds like you just need a little bit of help, a little bit of leg up until this thing is self-sustaining.
Right.
Right.
That's what we need.
So the market, the farmers market, does that help in some respects?
A little bit, but see, our goal with the farmers market was never to have it to be
a fundraising kind of mechanism. Right.
We use that as a way of getting people involved, basically.
To see what's going on.
Right.
I hear you.
And also to give some of those people who were interested in doing entrepreneurship, being a vendor.
I got you.
Give them an opportunity to be out there to do those kinds of things.
Huh.
And we really, at the market, if a person wants to be a vendor, all they got to do is pay $10 a week.
Wow.
They get a tent, a table, and chairs for that. And we haven't changed that. That's still the same.
That's cool.
Right.
All right. So if we think in terms of your goals, here we are, first part of 2019. By this time next year, you want to have raised $50,000, $100,000? What's your goal?
I really would like to see us in that length of time to probably raise us somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 to $100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So in that capacity, why don't we talk about fundraising opportunities, maybe some festival opportunities? I know you've done a little bit of that.
Yeah, we've every year for the last, I think this is about the seventh year that we're doing it, we've had the Heritage Fest, we call it, the Frenchtown Heritage Fest.
Huh.
Right.
Usually somewhere around October, November.
Okay.
And what we do is we close the street off and have bands and
yeah.
we have people to come down with their vending, you know, and wares and sell sure. stuff. We have people come and provide information. We have all kinds of activities for kids and families to get involved in. And we've been doing that since, I guess, about 7 years ago now.
Okay.
And this year we're planning to do it again. But, I mean, that's just, and we have to fundraise mm-hmm. for that, too, because mm-hmm. we really don't have a source. We've been getting money from the Community Redevelopment Agency, but I understand this year they're probably not going to fund that this year. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to raise those funds.
Yeah, CRA money has come yeah. under some scrutiny
yes,
and some
has.
reshifting going on there,
right.
sadly enough. But, folks, this is why we wanted Jim to come and tell you the story, because we think this is a great opportunity for all those involved and for us as a community. It has legs, and it impacts our history as a city, and will continue to do so for many, many generations. Kitchen Share, it's called. Find them online at kitchensharetlh.com. Be sure to send Rose an email. I know she'll appreciate it, because she's eager, ready to answer your questions and see how you can get involved. Make a cash donation. I think that would be a great idea. They're a 501c3, so why not? You need that. You need another tax deduction. Come on. So be a part of this growing, diverse community that is called Frenchtown, right here in the heart of Tallahassee. Our good friend, Jim Bellamy,
Thank you, our guest
this morning. Thanks for making it possible for us to get to know you. Come back when you have an opportunity. We'll talk some more.
Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate you having us.
Yeah.
And we say to the public, come by and see us sometime on either on Saturdays or come on in on May 18th and sign up and get you some space so we can work together to improve our community.
Sounds like a great idea. That's kind of what we're about here. I'm glad that you've been a part of it today. You know, we are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment here in Tallahassee, Florida, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio, Tallahassee's radio to the world, bringing you the sound of Tallahassee at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.